Aaron Portsline, beat reporter for the Jackets, joins us. Aaron, you've talked to both sides, of course. Clearly, John Davidson and the Blue Jackets, Jarmo Kekäläinen, are rather frustrated, pulling out the word extortion, which I found somewhat entertaining. Why so bitter so fast in this negotiation?
Extortion. I don't know about extortion. Yeah, I mean, you know what? They're excited for this season. I think they feel like they've got a team that has a chance to be special, which has not happened in Columbus. And this is sort of the trip, the speed bump at the starting gate that they were really hoping to avoid. It's obviously a distraction. That's their best offensive player, and he's not with them right now. And given the enormous gap between the two sides, I don't know that you can say that it's likely he's there at the start of the season. I mean, it's an enormous gulf. It's two people looking at the same painting and seeing two entirely different things. I mean, they're just in different ends of the world with their where they're at in these negotiations. So it is its frustration, the likes that John Davidson rarely shows in public, and he showed it again today. So it's gotten bitter. It's gotten personal. No matter what people say, it has gotten, clearly it has gotten personal at this point.
Aaron, you've covered this team for a long time, and anybody who follows the game understands JD's history on this, even though they don't know Kekäläinen maybe as well. You know, sometimes you can look at a situation and go, you know what? It's time for this guy to get paid. He produced. He's coming out of his entry level. You know, he's got ARB. He's got, you know, all the things that go into it, pending UFA. And you go, he needs to get paid. Other times you go, what is this guy and his agent thinking? And Ryan Johansson's a fine young hockey player, but I come down firmly on the side of, what are they trying to pull off here? They got zero leverage, and they want to get paid before they should, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the opinion that many share. Obviously, the player and his agent see it a totally different way. And you're leaning on the CBA, which is exactly how the Blue Jackets are negotiating. They have all of the rights right now. They've got all the leverage, I should say. The player does not have arbitration rights. He does not have an offer sheet at this point, so that leverage is not there for him. So his only choice at this point is to either take the money that's on the table or to do what he's doing, which is to withhold his services. You know, but I think there's also an argument from the player side. Did you watch him play last season and not think that this kid is going to be a number one center? He looked like a number one center. How many of those are there in the National Hockey League? I'm just playing the devil's advocate now.
Yep.
Are there 15 of them? Maybe 16? Maybe 18? Those guys get a lot of money. And should he be signing a contract coming out of his entry level that's on par with the guys that the Blue Jackets have pulled out? Derek Stepan, I think he's probably going to be a better player than Derek Stepan is. I think Stepan's probably a number two center. Matt Duchene, is Duchene a bona fide number one? I don't know. They're trying to get paid right now. The Blue Jackets are trying to use the CBA, use the leverage that they have now. It's the only time they're going to have leverage in these talks with Ryan Johansson. Again, he's going to have it from now on out with arbitration, with UFA pending in his next contract. He's got 4 years to go. This is the time for them to wield the hammer, and they're trying to wield it.
Aaron Portsline joins us, and I understand why they're doing it, and I totally get it. You mentioned Matt Duchene. Well, if you look at Matt Duchene's bridge deal, it was right around, I think it was 3.7. Now, if you look at salary cap and everything different, around $4 million. All, you know, there's always a lot of negative things said sometimes, and then they come to an agreement. As you mentioned, Johansson, and unless he gets a sudden offer sheet, which very few teams could even fit under the
right.
existing salary cap, right now, this is a guy who has no other options, right? Unless he's just going to go to the KHL for a season, which, you know, I'm not sure, you know, a Canadian kid's going to want to go over and play in Russia, regardless of how much money he's going to get paid. So do you think he just bites the bullet and takes the two-year deal?
Well, I don't think he's going to do that anytime soon. I mean, that may be his only choice at some point. You know, but this can also swing a different way. What if the Blue Jackets trip coming out of the starting gate? What if they start 1-4, 2-7. This is a team with really high aspirations. This is a franchise with a fractured fan base. It's started to come around now. There are over 10,000 season ticket sold. But how might these people react if another season appears to be started off on the wrong track? Does the leverage then push back to Johansson's side? That might be what it takes to compel these two sides to firmly negotiate. I think the next hurdle here, the next 11th hour, if you will be the start of the regular season. The really big 11th hour, of course, if it gets that far, God forbid, would be December 1st, which if he's not signed by December 1st, mm-hmm. he can't play in the National Hockey League this year. That would be a huge motivator for the kid. And let me add this, too. If it gets to December 1st and the kid is forced to take the deal that's on the table, whether this is right or whether it's wrong, I think you can safely assume that the relationship between player and franchise at that point would be fractured and hard to see it getting back together again.
Yeah, absolutely. I can understand that Overhart might be playing the card you're talking about, Aaron, in that, you know, if the team gets off to a bad start, the thing right. for me, though, is, and maybe you can remember one, I certainly can't remember a time in the last 10 years that a player missed all of training camp and a substantial part of preseason, and then went on to have a good year. So I'm going to sit there on the other side. If I'm the agent, I say, look, get out and play, and then we're going to look Davidson and Kekalainen in the eyes next year and say, we put up exactly the same season we did last year. This wasn't a flash in the pan, or say slightly better if things go well. Now we want to get paid. I think he has to get paid in that circumstance. If he comes out and has a cruddy year because he finally gets into the lineup a month into the season, what happens to him then?
Yep, and that is the kind of thinking that the Blue Jackets are banking on. That, precisely that. They would love for him to sign a two-year contract to have two huge years, the same size as he had this year, 33 goals, 63 points, maybe even beyond that. And if that happens, they have said repeatedly they will be more than happy to pay him. I think it's very interesting that this franchise did not want to give him a long-term contract. They held fast to that early this season. If you remember, it got really nasty from Johansson's perspective early. He felt he had earned a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly now they've changed course and they're talking a long-term deal. Now, they're not even close on the money, but they took a look at Brian Johansson coming back from Vancouver this summer and said, you know what, the kid looks like he's in shape. Okay, we'll go long-term. So that's a drastic change in these negotiations. If a couple more of those change of hearts take place, then maybe you've got something. But for right now, it does not look hopeful.
We talk about the fractured relationships. And I guess if he sits out that long, then it maybe can become fractured, but it seems there's always $1 million or a million reasons why guys can suddenly forget that there's any animosity, you know, between them, because, you know, Johansson sure. has 4 years until he's an unrestricted free agent, and, you know, offer sheets are always talked about, Aaron, but rarely, you know, do we see them, you know, especially nowadays, because teams just don't have a lot of cap space to offer a big one, especially this late in the year. So, you know, do you think that Johansson, you know him better than us, is he a guy that would take this personally, or is he allowing his agent to do his job?
You know, I think there's an element to this that's been personal already. I think he feels as though there's been no trust from the organization, and I think the organization has voiced that. I think that there are seeds of discontent there with Johansson, and that last year he thought maybe all of this stuff was behind him. And the way that they handled the negotiations early, it has reaffirmed to him that they still feel like they need to work with him or they need to be behind him, pushing him. Can they get over that? I think 2 years similar to this season would help all parties feel better about the situation. I feel like the team feels like they've had to have done the work that they've done, sometimes bruise his ego. Could they get beyond it? I don't think it's to the point now where they can't get beyond it. I think they can salvage this. I think they'll be fine if the kid gets here, comes into camp, even if he's a week late and plays. He starts to miss the early part of the season. I think that's when it really starts to get nasty. And again, I think that December 1st, if he is forced to sign, it could at that point be only his qualifying offer. Here, kid, take it. Or you can't play in the league at all this year. That, I don't know how you come back from something like that. But like you said, it's 4 years before he's an unrestricted free agent. A lot can happen. A lot of good can happen a lot of bridges can be put together in that time frame.
Aaron, where are the fans lining up on this one at this point?
You know, fans, my experience has been fans always side with management. They don't see how much the owner makes. They don't see the ledger, the business ledger. But they see that 3.5, and they wonder how you could ever say no to that. You know, a 22-year-old kid turned down $46 million to play hockey for the next 8 years and packed his bags and left town today. That's hard for people to get their arms around. There are a few people, I think it's 90-10 pro club, but I think there are a few people, I see them and read them on Twitter, who are absolutely in Johansson's camp here and do not understand why Columbus has waited 14 years to have a number one center, and why is this an issue? Just pay the kid, get him in camp, and let's go.
I agree. I think it's something that most people can't relate, and I can understand why. You're 21 years of age, or 22 now, and they're offering you $3 million a year for 2 years to play hockey. I think you can suck it up and then make the $8 million a year for 8-year deal after that if you earned it. Definitely no issue there. And Columbus, a team, Aaron, I thought it was really on the rise. And if they get Johansson, they have a legitimate shot to be a top three team in the East, I believe. But without him, that's a huge hole at the number one center position. So I'm sure the fans are hoping it ends sooner than later. As always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you when the season actually begins.
Yeah, good, guys. Thanks for having me.